You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today is Christopher Fulton. He is the co-author, along with his wife, Michelle, of The Inheritance, Poisoned Fruit of JFK's Assassination. It came out on November 22nd, 2018, and it was published by Trine Day. You brought up, and the website is cmfulton.com, you brought up a very interesting point right before the top of the hour break. You said that most people who are just God-fearing, honest people who would not conceive of murdering or harming or doing anything evil or harmful in any way to anyone just cannot conceive of there being a large amount of people who are psychotic and who have stabbed people in the back figuratively to get to where they're at, and they use their money and their psychotic behavior to make more money. And but I do think that the internet has been a boon. It can also be a negative. I think that people need to be very careful of what they post. It can be misinterpreted, and I think that people who post their entire daily life on Facebook and other places are just very foolish, incredibly foolish. Okay, that's my little rant. But you've suffered a great deal. The people that you were close to have suffered, and certainly with your mother's passing, and it was obviously stress related. My gosh.
Well, it's hard to, and you don't want to. I mean, if you were in war, or you were in the situations that life can put you in, unfortunately, sometimes you go through things that, for my example, I watch people hang themselves because they couldn't deal with the fact that they're going to die in prison, that they're going to get a life sentence, and they never see their children or their families again. And of course, I woke up many times where I was broke and I thought I wanted to die too. But the sure. You don't want to instill that. You don't want to instill that to other people. You don't want to put them through that kind of extreme situation, and so you try as a good person, you try to absolve people of that. In the book, I thought it was important to take the reader through a step by step what had happened to me, so that they could kind of walk in the same shoes, and then kind of look through their own filters and decide what they could take from that, or what might be important to them, or what have you. But I thought, I couldn't dishonor the people that have died through this, even my own family, and of course the President Kennedy and Senator Kennedy, and many other good people that have died in wars and other things that were so unnecessary, and I couldn't dishonor all of that by not writing this down. For years I wanted to forget everything. I was sorry that I'd been exposed, and of course the federal government was very, very angry that I was exposed to this, and who was I to make any choices involved in the national security issues of the United States and all these things. But I could not, in my conscience, a good conscience, leave it to my children or pass from this world without at least sharing what had taken place. To help the country maybe better understand and to maybe heal a little bit from this. I thought that it would be a very selfish and an unfair act if I didn't step forward at some point and do this. And then, of course, I was really hoping that the records that came out through President Trump that pushed to the National Archive my name appears in that investigation through the Assassination Record Review Board. I thought, well, maybe possibly the information might come out through that, but of course it did not. I took it upon myself to have somebody go to the College Park and do a 30-day investigation physically at the National Archives to see if the information could come out. And of course, one of the major file folders that is involved with this situation has been removed. The National Archives recognizes the fact that it's supposed to be there and understands that it's there, but it's missing, and there's been no pull slip for it from any agency or president, so it's just gone.
Wow. Well, the one thing I like about your book is that about one-fifth of the book is images, documents, and photographs, and people can see for themselves, and I'm sure that there were, as you said in the beginning of the program, thousands upon thousands of pages of documents.
Yeah, there's that. Anyone who's been through a federal case, you know, people say don't make a federal case of it. There's boxes of folders involved in a federal case. I submitted some materials that I had to the publisher. And then, of course, he, in his generosity, took it upon himself to take some of those and put them in the book so they print them out so that people could see some of the Justice Department's case file on this. And then one of the things I thought was good to put in there was their subpoena power, I showed the subpoena that came in for these records, and also the initial write-ups for these subpoenas, their beginning drafts of these things, so you could get a good handle on what they were concerned about and what they were looking for, and the lengths that they were going to go to make sure that we fell under their yoke of resolve and put through the process one way or the other. Of course, Sir Robert White died and I went to prison. They got what they wanted from both of us one way or the other. They classified that away from the American public, but I can at least tell the story as it went along and share with the American public what I have to share, and hopefully you can gain something from that.
It just seems that in order to get elected and stay as an official, that you have to go along to get along. And if you don't...
Well, my grandfather used to say that you can't go into an honest game of cards when everyone else is cheating. You can't play an honest game. So that's the way things have been rigged for quite a long time.
Right. And they've gotten... They've been using these same tactics for quite some time. They killed Schmedley Butler because he was going to say war... You know, he wrote the book War is a Racket. They've killed a number of people who had things to say, or they simply get somebody else elected, such as Finley here in Illinois. They just paid somebody else and supported somebody else so that you can get rid of people that won't go along with the agenda. And so
if you're a good person, yeah, and you've got a strong moral base, and you've got a family that you love and people you care about, why would you subject yourself to a pit of vipers? Why would you do that? It's a very difficult thing to do. And then, of course, you're forced into positions where you have to make hard decisions and go along with the consensus sometimes with decisions that cost people's lives that you don't agree with. And so this is a very difficult job to do and in a way when you're not you're very much a minority. So why more and more is the fact of why would good people take these positions? Why would they even try to push that agenda?
Yes. And they all say they're going to go out there and change Washington and nobody ever really does. And there's so many crooked politicians, and they know about the foibles of these politicians so that they can expose them at any time. That they don't go along with the agenda. It was during the funeral and all of the nonsense that was happening right after George H.W. Bush died. It was pretty sickening, considering all of the people that died, that were slaughtered, the countries that were destroyed, the infrastructure of the almost the entire Middle East was destroyed. And here they were saying what a good and great man he was. It just made me sick.
President Kennedy, on his recordings that I've listened to, was a very constitutional-based president and thought every American life was extremely important. He was willing to sacrifice his life for any one of us.
And he did.
He thought that, that's right, and that's the job. And that's what he took upon himself and took it very, very seriously. So did his brother. His brother was a very wealthy individual and had power and had signed agreements. And after the assassination, was very comfortable in the fact of being a U.S. senator, and was slated to stay there. But he took it upon himself in 1968 to say, "No, I'm not going to dishonor my brother. I'm not going to dishonor his death. I'm not going to allow us to continue to slaughter people in Vietnam and lose people in Vietnam. We're on the wrong course in this country. We have problems with our education. We have problems with divisions in this country between poor, wealthy, and poor people, and also racial problems. And these things need to be addressed." And he made, if you go back and listen to the words that he was saying when he was running for election, these were words that were coming from the heart. These aren't, you know, he was saying that in 1968, this election is going to change the course of the world, the moral right to the world for decades and decades to come. This is a fight for the for morality of the whole planet. And this is not a joke. This is not a simple election for some town council. This is a serious issue. And he was very much aware that he probably would not make this. You know, imagine telling your wife, "I'm doing this for the betterment of the world and for the country. I might not make it." And the last thing he said in California when he was shot was, "Is everybody okay? Is everybody all right?" You know, this is a person who cared about people. Cared about yes. people. They didn't care about the money involved. Didn't care about power involved. They cared about the American people and the people of the world. And these are the type of individuals that we need in power. These are the kind of individuals that we need as parents, doing what we can't do because we're busy taking care of our families at home or worried about our own issues. We need people that are there representing us, that are someone that we would trust with our own family's lives if it came down to, because it's exactly what it comes down to. And once that trust has been dissolved and you don't have a good relationship any further, where are we? We're lost. We're on a ship kind of lost. And then, you know, right now I know we have severe divisions over many issues that should have been resolved a long time ago in this country, and they've just gotten farther and farther away from that purpose. And the people that benefit, you have to remember, the people that are benefiting from those issues that don't help the American public are the ones that are getting rich off of it and are doing well. It's not the American public that's doing well. We all realize instinctively, no matter what side of the fence that you fall on, that there's something very wrong. And nobody's really happy, are they? If you're on one side or the other, they both feel strong divisions and very very much unhappy. And this boat that we're all in, it's not going anywhere. We're all pulling in so many different directions, and we're all in the same boat. We're all on the same planet. We all love our children the same way. We all breathe the same air, as President Kennedy had said. And this is very important issues. I did time with a priest that had come into a maximum security prison by demonstrating against nuke weapons at a military base. The two nuns and a priest that came in for 6 months, which is the minimum you can get in the federal system.
Oh my gosh!
So I did the time with this Catholic priest. I did time with this Catholic priest. And I said, "Father, I'm so sorry that they put you in such a place as this." And he said, "Son, don't worry about that. This is exactly where I should be. This is where I'm needed, because there's nothing more important in this world, in my mind, than to educate the American public as to the concern of these nuke weapons and the mass destruction that's taking place. And then, of course, I'm in here with you men that are fighting for your lives, that are coming forward to talk to me, open and free to discuss the Word of God, and you have more in line with Jesus Christ. than the people that are on the outside, because you're freely coming under persecution and prosecution to talk about this. These are the kind of men. These are the kind of men and women, the strength of Americans that I'm proud of, the people that I associate this country with. It's that kind of endeavors of character, and that I think that we need that kind of leadership. And we've gone, like I said, over the decades, we've fallen and accepted far less than that. That for so long we don't even recognize it anymore. And we need to quickly take hold of this, or it's going to take hold of us.
I think it has. I was in an anti-war demonstration in downtown Chicago several years ago, and there were many, many buses of people that came in to demonstrate against the war in the Middle East. And oddly enough, what we saw later on the news were just the people who were pro-war. The news did not cover all of the thousands of demonstrators. And there were thousands, absolutely thousands, yeah, of demonstrators. And they were ready with big buses, barred buses, to take anybody that got out of hand away. And it's amazing. Yeah. It's media, a way that things are covered.
That's right. Mainstream media is a very, very, very important social understanding of the world. It's how people understand the rest of the world and their small communities. And so that was understood a long time ago. And the people of the men and women who control that has shrunk to a very small number, a handful of individuals that control the mass media. And of course, the CIA had planned a lot of this, and in 1947 continued on for disinformation and the control of personnel and all the media outlets. So right, that the information that comes in is very much controlled and very much in line with the agenda, which is global control by corporation, but corporate agreement, right, is how they try to keep us out of a nuke exchange. It's controlled by cooperation of large amounts of money and large amounts of globalism. And that's what the world is becoming more and more of. And of course, the rest of us are losing our rights and losing our abilities to act independently and to start small business and all of this thing. We're being weeded out.
Right.
And President Kennedy, very much against that, very much against that, wanted even to the fact where foreign governments, as long as they could operate on their own, and we would just support their democratic processes. But he thought it very important to let them be independent and free.
Of course.
This is, we want to be independent and free. We don't go in and affect our policies by acts of war or weapons of mass destruction, because that's not sustainable. And these are the words that President Kennedy said. These are things that he understood very clearly back in 62 and 63. And part of the reason why they killed him.
Right. Now, his father was very much in agreement with those policies and had been for quite some time. And of course, the media smeared the Kennedys as womanizers and just about anything they could think of in order to make them look bad. This monopolization of the media occurred under somebody you've already mentioned, is Ronald Reagan, when he was president.
I'd like to address the womanizing part of it.
Yes,
I mean, that certainly have gotten way out of hand, but from what I've seen, President Kennedy was utilizing women specifically because they were able to gather intelligence and were told things that didn't come to men. And he was working with several women to help gain control of Cold War and end the Cold War. Some of these women were killed after President Kennedy was murdered, or even before he was murdered, because the powers that be did not like these outsiders being utilized for purpose. That was against the rules. But President Kennedy was very much in line with that, and what he had set up was actually working.
Wow. Alrighty, we're going to take a quick 3-minute break. We will be right back. Stay with us. This is so interesting. So vital information here.
Attention RBN listeners, Dr. Ignatius Piazza, founder of Frontsight Firearms Training, and Fate have come together to allow RBN to run another fundraiser till the end of the year. We didn't really expect this opportunity, but thankfully, it's here and running as you hear this. We've set a goal of 500 donations by the end of the year, which averages around 6 per day, 7 days a week. When you realize all the folks listening to RBN all hours of the day and night, we think our goal is realistic and extremely critical to keep RBN on the air. If everybody listening will seriously assess their ability with firearms and then take advantage of this opportunity, we feel our goal is very conservative. Please take the time to look over FrontSight's website to get an idea of an amazing facility and the world-class training that's going on there. If this interests you, you likely will have like-minded friends that would like to know. Tell them. If for some reason some listeners are not personally interested, consider sons and daughters, close friends, nieces or nephews, top valued employees, inform club members, share the opportunity with police and fire departments. It's not too early to plan Christmas presents for special people. This fundraiser has come in an extremely critical time for RBN because the dire need for equipment upgrades. We're running on the spare tire currently with no money to fix a flat, and the fuel gauge is bouncing on E. This is one of the most valuable ways you can help RBN financially because you get Commander lifetime membership value that is 50 times your donation and can be passed on forever. How many times during life do you get to leave a legacy? See more details and contact info on our webpage, republicbroadcasting.org, and thank you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to aroutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
All right, welcome back. Our guest is Christopher Fulton. The website is cmfulton.com, and please pick up where you left off about the clever use of people who could gain information. It wasn't what it has been portrayed as.
Well, it certainly was not. I mean, there were people in the media. There was people in the and the press corps, or in the diplomatic corps, rather, and there was people in the Hollywood sector. But these were people that President Kennedy knew over long periods of time and had come to trust. So it wasn't a, it wasn't something that he took very lightly. But of course, he utilized these private meetings and these get-togethers in a way that helped him secure a contact with the people directly, world leaders involved, and so he could. Go to the source of problems rather than try to resolve it in a way that where people weren't interested in resolving these issues. So he again utilized whatever he could in secret to make a better planet for all of us and a more peaceful situation for all of us because he realized that the people that he was working with General LeMay and people like Mr. Dulles. With the CIA, these people were insane lunatics in his opinion.
They were
insane lunatics. That, drunk with power, insane with it, and wanted to had a death wish for the world. And President Kennedy thought, "My God, President Kennedy understood war. He'd been in World War II. He was being groomed for the presidency after his brother died. He was a naval intelligence officer. He went to Berlin. He was in the bunker after the collapse there. He saw how the Russians had acted when they came into Berlin, and he understood the American side was very concerned about the Russians. Yeah, but he did not come out of the old thinking from these older gentlemen that had decided how these things were going to take place. Eisenhower went to D-Day, was very concerned about D-Day, and had written a speech or a letter, rather, to the thing had failed. And it took upon himself, was very concerned about our men or our boys over there and the loss of life it was going to take to invade. But I understood that President Eisenhower had found God on D-Day and then was very, very concerned about World War III looming just around the corner. So he had made a promise to President Eisenhower that he would do whatever he had to stop that World War III from happening, and that was something he took very serious.
Well, we probably have a different opinion about Eisenhower, but I can't say whether he found God or not, but he certainly found somebody over there that spent a great deal of time with him, and he was pretty much on board with 200 encampments, but that's another story altogether, another subject altogether. But when you think about the people that have died mysteriously, or like JFK Jr. and his wife on a plane, he was a very skilled pilot. Marilyn Monroe, her death is incredibly, incredibly suspicious. There are a lot of suspicious things going on, correct?
If you look at the rationale of it, President Kennedy was murdered very publicly for purpose, and
it was a public brother, assassination.
That's right, and his brother was strong enough to step out of that shadow and to say, "Listen, basically, they had the family now, and I'm taking responsibility to continue the policies of my brother to set the country back on course." Because it's so very, very. I mean, you could clearly see, from 1964 forward to 68, how far we had just gone down the wrong road. $575 billion of money allocated to the wrong people. All the service 2.6 service personnel sent to Vietnam rotated around that, and all the things that were being done for the wrong purposes. But of course he was murdered, and so was Martin Luther King. It's very obvious. These are not acts of random mistakes. These are very purposeful assassinations, and the. And they've taken us down a road and down a course that has really turned out to be a very bad road, and the results, we're experiencing those results now. But in my opinion, from what I've experienced from behind the scenes, I can only see that it could get very, very worse, and that Americans I don't believe most of the Americans realize how bad it could actually become.
Even on a personal level, you're talking about the people who, I don't want to say served, but who spent time in the military in Vietnam, where, 58,000 of them perished, and so many of them, people are not made or created to kill each other. Normal individuals have an aversion to killing other human beings. And so many people suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder. And In fact,
it's a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing. I mean, there's servicemen that kill themselves every day because they can't deal with what they've experienced or what they've been part of, and they don't have a way to relate that to people on a normal day basis. And it's tragic. It's a tragedy. You know, this is something I deal with on a daily basis as well, and I understand how it works. And it's a very sad thing that we have to be in this boat at all.
Right. Right. Okay, we will be right back. I think it's 22 military people a day kill themselves. I'm not sure what it is, but quite a high figure. We'll be right back in 3 minutes.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Our guest today is Christopher Fulton. The website is cmfulton.com. He is the co-author, along with his wife, Michelle, of The Inheritance, Poisoned Fruit of JFK's Assassination. Somebody Skyped me about an individual that Mary Pinchot Meyer. She was the wife of CIA agent Cord Meyer, and she knew Jack Kennedy when she was at Vassar, and she filed a divorce against Cord Meyer in 1958. And she knew what kind of a situation that Kennedy was involved with, and she said that he was learning too much and he was murdered, and it was because of what he was doing or attempting to do. And anyway.
That's right. That's right. And so was she.
Yes, she was murdered. When was
That's
she
right.
murdered? In 1964?
I believe it was 64, but I don't know
yes.
exactly.
Okay, October 12th, 1964. She was murdered by a professional hitman, and she had kept a diary that was never found, and they never solved her murder. Which is
the people that involved in these think tanks and the proposals that come through the Pentagon this is not something that they share with the American public because the American public can't handle that kind of information. For example, I was looking at the documentation that was prepared through the Central Intelligence Agency that it was the acceptable losses in the each American city of American dead would be acceptable. So I'm reading that and I'm looking at this and I'm saying, in my opinion, there is no acceptable losses. I understand that you think that this is a way to deal with any kind of plans and ways to prepare yourselves for any kind of eventualities. But at the same time, as a person that's moralistic, I don't think you should be thinking about how many people you can kill to enact this problem or solve this situation. And I think that kind of thinking is very wrong. And so they don't want the American people to see that kind of intel because they don't think that they can handle it well, or they think that of course there'd be an uprising that it would stop that sort of planning and thinking. And of course I believe that that's exactly true. I think if the divisions that we have in this country right now, that weakens us. It not only weakens us as a world position, but it weakens us domestically. And of course we don't have any power when that happens, when there's all that infighting and division. And as a country that can come together and be unified and be strong in our moral objectives and who we are as a nation and who we are as Americans, that's a scary thing because that can put pressure back on these people to circumvent their whole ideas and plans of things. And I really feel that this whole secrecy of this national security ticket has been overplayed. I think it's been used to hide massive agendas of money and power that transfer to individuals for purpose. And I think that a lot of this has to stop. And of course, that's dangerous talk because there's a lot of money and power involved in this. But the American public needs to inform themselves. The more that they can get informed, President Kennedy said that I believe in the American people when they have, they'll make the right decisions when they're well informed. And that's what he said, and I agree with that.
Right, right. I can't imagine. Well, just driving around. I live in the Chicago suburbs, and just driving around, you see so many big shopping centers closed, and so many stores are closing. The streets are in bad shape. There's big potholes, and we have bridges that are falling apart. The infrastructure is falling apart, and people should. They're not aware. They don't seem to be aware or take.
The infrastructure of the United States is breaking down.
Right.
I can give you 1,000 different examples, but if you go in to buy a part for your car, you may get a part that most times that doesn't work, and you might replace it 4 times with a part that's defective or doesn't work. These are brand new parts. That's just one example. You go into a state-run agency and you fill out a form that says this is my statement of fact or my sworn statement to a state agency, and they look at it, well, this won't work. Let's just change this around, and they scribble on your state prepared form and change it and alter it to go through the system. Now, this is the kind of things that I witnessed in Russia because the system was so disorganized, and you had the ultra-rich running everything, and yet everybody else running scared. And that's more and more every day. That's kind of where we're headed towards. And we need to be very, very concerned about that. Very concerned.
People are very busy doing their cell phones and their gadgets that they don't seem to be looking at what is occurring right around them. And it's so obvious. Why don't they ask? Well, how come we're spending all of this money bombing the Middle East when our country's falling apart? I don't hear people asking that question. When bridges are falling apart, Production has gone offshore. It's incredible to me.
Other parts of the world are very concerned about their infrastructure and their people. But I agree with you. And of course, the educational system is a tremendous concern because as you infiltrate the youth as it becomes. So if you have them looking at the computer screens all day or cell phones all day, or thinking that they have to follow these people around and lost in this confusion. Now you've got people that there are other confusers leading thousands of other confusers as sheep. So as this continues and this youth identifies with this, and this is all they know, they're not looking at national issues. They're not looking at national concern. They're not looking at the broader perspective of this. And so you're losing the ability to function on a higher level as a country, and pretty much that you're going to get a bunch of people just doing whatever they're told to do. And of course, that's a lot of what I experienced when I was in Russia.
The other thing too is that people are doing good people are making some incredibly bad choices based on emotional appeal that they should be reconsidering the consequences. They should be thinking, okay, is this a communist kind of an objective? They're voting or embracing socialistic, communistic ideas without thinking about the consequences, simply because they were given an emotional appeal to do something.
I think the youth of this country likes the idea of socialism, or likes the idea of these types of concepts, because that's what they're being weaned on. So I can understand that, and they don't have enough time on the planet or understanding of what the differences really are between a democracy and what the differences make and how you have to preserve a democracy and what it means. So that's what I'm trying to say. There's and I hate to use the word dumbing down, but that our country is definitely dumbing down. If you look at a newsreel when I was a young man or something of that nature, and I'm looking at somebody who maybe is 25, 28 years old, they're polished, they're professional, they're well-spoken, they're well-dressed, and they understand the issues, and they can speak with clarity. And this is someone who's young. Now we've got people in their 40s and 50s and 60s acting like children, screaming at each other to get their points across or wanting to fistfight each other over these issues. And it really is an embarrassment. Not only that, but it's a national security concern. It would have been a national security concern many years ago, because you're having the rest of the world look at us as ridiculous and it's foolish behavior. So I believe strongly that our educational system needs to be totally revamped and changed, and how we approach many subjects in this country needs to be addressed and totally reformed.
Right. And the other thing that is noticeable to me is that the security here, for instance, if you go to the airport, you have to go through these radiation machines, and you have to take off your shoes, and you can't take a bottle of water, and you can't do this, and you have to. It's almost like being strip searched going through, and yeah.
Well, that's a catapult. You know, rich people don't deal with that. People that have their own aircraft or have chartered jets, sure, they don't deal with those situations. When I was a young man, a kid, you walked on a plane. You had to respect that you were a grown up, that you were innocent until proven guilty. You had a decency of understanding, and you just walked out to an aircraft and got on board an aircraft. Now, I do understand that there are things that that are different today than there were 40, 50 years ago. But at the same time, if you take away our decency as human beings, you strip away our ability for individual rights and all these types of things, and you've lost those things in the process, what are we fighting for? What do we have left we're holding on to? Because you've already lost the war.
And it's being done incrementally. Now, in 2007, and I've mentioned this on the program before, when I visited China, You could get on an airplane. All you had to do was go through the, a little, well, hardly anything. You could take water. You didn't have to take off your shoes. You just went out and you got on the plane. And that is supposed to be, you know, a very strict society. It is a strict society in many respects. But as far as airplane security, it really was very insignificant and mild compared to what it is here.
Well, everything has an infrastructure, and it has that infrastructure has cost, and they people make money with that infrastructure. Those are things like you mentioned in this conversation very early, that the people make their own agendas and their own problems, and then they have to create this infrastructure that makes a lot of money for individuals and corporations. In my opinion, it isn't proven to stop anything. So in all many aspects of American life, these infrastructures have been put into place for making large amounts of money, and right. it's not beneficial. It's not a wise way to handle our taxpayers' money. In my personal opinion, there's a lot of other more important issues and other things that we can address. And of course, if the only thing we can figure out is to put ourselves in handcuffs, so that we don't hurt ourselves as adults, and I think we've lost the whole big picture.
Right. Now, there have been so many books written about JFK. Why is your book different from the others? I mean, I think it's different. It's very different. But...
Well, let me get a drink of water here.
Sure. Of course, you had information available to you that other people simply speculated on. I love the book Final Judgment by Mike Piper, and I've read other books about JFK, and of course you have different information from a totally different source. I guess I can answer my own question here. The reason you're...
Well, you could, but let me
since I asked you...
So I appreciate you covering for me there, but let me answer the... let me answer for you. We were in possession of documented evidence that proved the conspiracy in the 35th president of the United States. We also had evidence that showed that Bobby Kennedy was made complicit in the cover-up to preserve world peace. This information was going to go public possibly in 1998 and 99. Of course, there was a battle that ensued, and that didn't happen. So the government really doesn't really care if you have a theory, or doesn't even really care if you have what we had. But what they do care about is if you have evidence that could be put tendered into a federal court and then could be utilized to change official positions. And that's what we had and what we were in possession of, and that's what made us such a concern for national security and why the resolve was what it was, why we all lost in this way, because they are not interested. The Justice Department has been put in charge, fully in charge of the whole Kennedy assassination matter, and their interest is not to, they have no interest in pursuing any truth in the matter. They have no interest in because there's going to be no prosecutions or persecutions at the end of the day for them. So their directive is simply to confiscate evidence and then secure that evidence if it needs to be classified for the purpose of the American government. That's it, bottom line. Most of the evidence that's in the National Archives, or most of it that has to do with actually showing the real information has been removed or destroyed. Some of the evidence that's left that President Trump could not get out in the 11th hour, that the CIA and FBI restricted him from doing so, is evidence that involves the IRS. That's evidence that shows who was being paid by these agencies for covert operations, and that would include Oswald. And they don't want that seen. The other thing is grand jury testimony, which is sealed, which is like my testimony or other testimony. It was in front of a grand jury, and the last bit of that would be any evidence that Bobby Kennedy had held back from his agreements that was made up with the Johnson administration, the FBI, and the materials that we had were very covertly fell outside of those deeds of gift that Robert Kennedy and the Kennedy family was forced into in 1964-65 to sign with the General Services, to sign with the Johnson and the people of the FBI and all that, to turn over any evidence involved directly with the president's assassination and the involvement in Cuba so that it could be classified or destroyed. Robert Kennedy did his utmost to keep back some of that information, to keep his power, to keep himself secured, and to keep his family secured. Once he was assassinated in 68, it all went dark. He didn't want to pursue that any further.
Wow. Okay, we'll be right back in 3 minutes.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $400? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5. This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $400? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
Republic Broadcasting Network depends on listener support of our advertisers and of our sponsors. We'd like to especially thank all of you who have taken advantage of our fundraiser with FrontSight Bonus. Those who are now FrontSight members, please train as soon as possible for your sake and for that of our nation. And please consider sharing your training and what you've learned when you arrive home. Republic Broadcasting Network has to stop promoting this fundraiser on air and on the website in just a few days. Dr. Ignatius Piazza, president of FrontSight, made a gracious exception to his no media rule for us at Republic Broadcasting Network. Thank you, Dr. Piazza. And once you've been to FrontSight, feel free to call your favorite host and share your experience on the air. We can continue this fundraiser without media help, but it'll be totally up to the listeners to spread the information. Please call Dan Sutterfield in Missouri at 573-465-2356, 573-465-2356. That's 573-465-2356.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Christopher Fulton. Website is cmfulton.com. He is the author, along with his wife, Michelle, of The Inheritance, Poison Fruit of JFK's Assassination. Now, you mentioned Clinton in 1998, Clinton. What role, well, the Clintons, as far as I know, have killed so many people. It's just, they have quite a lengthy list. I can't believe they get away with this stuff, but they do. But you also mentioned that you had crossed paths with Donald Trump, and we are going to our top of the hour break, but I wonder if you would tell us what your opinion of Trump is.
Well, I think he's he is a Washington outsider, and of course he's a New York business person that has done very well. But I think that the powers that be in Washington are worried about him because they can't predict what he's going to do. We can't they're having a hard time controlling him. So I think he's a concern, and I think he one of the big things that I see is that he's having a hard time in his diplomacy. So that you have half the country not being at least addressed about those issues, that they can feel somewhat satisfied or be part of the process. I feel it's very important that Mr. Trump address the nation in a way that might be better than the tweets, that he would maybe gain some access to some press corps that he would trust, and then address the nation that way, which is a more standard practice. But he really needs to be as transparent as possible with the American public. But I think he has the potential of doing some great work. And I think he's got a big job ahead of him. I do think that he had conferred with JFK Jr. because some of the things that JFK Jr. and I had discussed that he put it into implement, which was the fact that he has his own private security force. He doesn't trust just the Secret Service, the agency to protect him. And he carries a gun personally. So I think that's a very wise thing that he is doing.
Well, he shouldn't go to Dallas, right?
Well, there are any time a president is at odds with the establishment and thing and a lot of power and a lot of money that's in place in that situation, you have to take certain precautions as much as you can, because the power and money is what makes the world go round to these people. And so but I think he has the potential for doing some great things, but I don't envy his position. I think he's got a very hard job.
Yes, certainly he does. Anybody that goes against the establishment is going to have a tough job. Now, under the Clinton administration, so many things, federal laws were changed that eased the way to warfare. And of course, the Bush family and the Clinton family worked very cohesively together to implement some of the things that economically disadvantaged other countries. Okay, we are at the top of the hour. We will be right back, and we will take some calls in the next hour. Be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultation consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.